You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
South Africa's trade regulator, the International Trade Administration Commission of South Africa, we know it better as ITAC, is facing a big caseload as global trade tensions rise. I guess that's fairly predictable. Despite unilateral US tariffs and a flood of cheap imports, particularly from China, ITAC says, though, it's not going to engage in what it terms tit-for-tat retaliation. Instead, it insists that any protective tariffs will only be used to safeguard local industries. The chief commissioner is Bonga Kawe, and joins me on the program now. Commissioner, you've described the current caseload as unprecedented. How much more work is the commission handling compared to the past couple of years?
Thank you so much, Jeremy, for the opportunity. And I think the remarks about the caseload were quite particular to what are remedial measures. And for the benefit of your listeners, there's a distinction between ordinary customs duty amendments on the tariff schedule and trade remedy investigations responding to dumping or the landing of subsidized imports or even a surge in imports that requires safeguard measures. And it is in that latter arena that we've seen unprecedented caseloads. In any one year, historically, Jeremy, you would have had in the post-2007-8 period anywhere between about kind of 5 to 7 investigations in the pipeline at different stages involving product markets in the tariff schedule where applicants, which are South African industrial firms, are alleging that there's been dumping or there's been a need for safeguard in response to a flood of import. We've seen that number moving comfortably into the double-digit terrain in terms of the investigations in our merit assessments, right through to those we've initiated, and even the spread and diversity of the products in question in the last 2 years or so, emerging, of course, from, as I argue, chronic overcapacity and overproduction in certain product markets.
So that's the broad overview. I want to focus on tariffs, if I can. The US, as we know, has slapped tariffs on key exports. Why has ITAC chosen restraint rather than retaliation?
Well, so I think there are probably two reasons, Jeremy. I think the first is that we do not make tariff decisions in South Africa by executive order or fiat, as is the case we saw in the United States and even in some other countries that have done away with their trade authorities and given that decision to members of the executive. India is one example of that as well. So we don't have that system in South Africa. We have a system where a investigative and deliberative body makes a recommendation to a member of the executive who then ultimately makes the decision. And so the member of the executive is also bound to the extent that they can make a decision on a tariff by an underlying recommendation, in this instance, from the commission. Mm. And so as long as we've got that system, it binds us towards making decisions on the balance of evidence rather than episodic or conjunctural changes where we would have to reactively retaliate. So that's the first reason. The second reason, I think, is a broader geopolitical reason. We're a small open market economy in a world where there's a law of the jungle and decisions are made by might, whether that is consumptive or industrial might. We can't win in that type of thing. And that's why we have an interest in a predictable, rules-based multilateral order. That is our foreign policy position. And effectively, that informs why it might not be in our national interest to retaliate. Does that mean we can't respond? Of course, the response, as you would have heard from Minister Tau and Minister Lamola, is about how do we support firms to diversify not only where it is they sell to, but also the extent to which they can use existing raw material processes, capabilities, skills, and know-how to be able to widen what it is that they produce and the markets that they can sell into.
You talk about South Africa being a rules-based country. I absolutely accept that. But in many respects, Washington has torn that rule book up. And critics are saying that failing to respond with perhaps greater force, or at least equal force, could maybe embolden trade partners. Is South Africa not in danger of sending a signal of weakness?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that is probably in the realm of innuendo, and other psychologists might tell you about signals of weakness and how those are dealt with. What I can speak to, Jeremy, is that to the extent that our trade policy requires we make decisions on the balance of evidence, we will continue to do so. But the second one is that is this idea that retaliation with the scale of market we have might have other unintended consequences that might potentially be much more counterproductive to our industrial policy ambitions. That's the first one. But the second and much more important one is, you're correct, the multilateral system and trading, global trading order has been undone. And you're correct that sometimes we are much more pious than the Pope when it comes to the multilateral order. But we do recognize that in the debris of this broken system, there will have to be, among a group or a constellation of countries, the creation of some rules-based order that will create some predictability. And this, you would know, Jeremy, is not the first time this has happened in history. Look at how the imperial systems of preference broke up at the height or near the end of the British Empire just prior to the Great Depression. And following that depression, right through into the Second World War, you had a breakdown of a British overseen global multilateral order that was replaced by the one that we are seeing being undone at the moment.
I understand that, but do we have the luxury of time while that new order starts to emerge? Try telling that to a citrus farmer or to a wine merchant.
No, correct. And I think you're right that our tools are too sticky. And that's why we have to amend the tools that enable us to respond. And you would have, I think, seen that in some of the sectors, we've moved away from this kind of product by product to try and move towards a much more systemic response. Take the steel sector. We looked at a submission, which we are going to be issuing a gazette for this week, which is starting to say, well, this thing of taking a piecemeal approach requires a systemic response that makes use of the policy space we have under the prevailing WTO system. If that is not adequate, then of course, certain legislative changes have to be made. So a lot of this doesn't only rest with an administrative or investigative body like ITAC, but I think is a much broader legislative question. If the WTO system, which we have ratified as a country, is undone, what is the legislative agenda for us to put something else in its place? And I think that question is probably much more above my pay grade.
So just a quick question and a quick answer in closing.
Yes.
And it's, again, perhaps more philosophical. Given this new hostile trade climate, is there at some point the need for us to rethink our longstanding commitment to free trade principles, given that rule book has now changed?
No, I agree. And I mean, this is why I was saying we've been more pious than the Pope when this system has been undone. We do need to have a strategic engagement with it, but also in some instances, a strategic delinking from it. And if that means putting in place rapid response mechanisms to use the tools you have. I mean, let me give you an example. A safeguard investigation or a dumping investigation takes 18 months in some cases, yeah? Sometimes firms don't have 18 months. So what mechanisms can you put in place? And we've seen in the United Kingdom and the EU, they've changed their safeguard regulations to bring in steel from places like Turkey rapidly in response to things that are happening in some of these product markets. And I think that requires many of our lawmakers sitting in Parliament and even the policymakers and the executive to probably look at that and make the necessary changes. And to the extent that we assist them with that and thinking through that, we'll continue to do so.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Ayabonga Qawe, who is the Chief Commissioner at the International Trade Administration Commission of South Africa. I appreciate your time.